Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Houston. Today is Thursday, May 1st, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Working with Others, on page 94, the second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons through one paragraph ending, lend him your copy of this book, and we'll be commenting on one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Kelsey C., the 12 traditions, Christine G., and the readers of the text are Lynn S., Elena C., and then our backup reader this morning is Susan S.H. The reference numbers for yesterday, April 30th, are the following. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,392. That is 22,392. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,393. That is 22,393. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kelsey C. to please read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kelsey.
Good morning. My name is Kelsey C. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Kelsey C., and I will now ask Christine G. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Christine G. in Connecticut, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirements for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Christine G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So this morning, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 94, the second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons through one paragraph ending, lend him your copy of this book, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. So I will now ask Lynn S. to begin reading. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you. Your candidate may give reasons why he need not follow all of the program. He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, which requires discussion with other people. Do not contradict such views. Tell him you once felt as he did, but you doubt whether you would have made much progress had you not taken action. On your first visit, tell him about the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. If he shows interest, lend him your copy of this book. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And I just had to laugh there for a second because this is not how I approached anybody ever. And it just made me laugh. As far as I'm concerned, this chapter was called Working on Others. Every time we read it, I said, wow, there's some neat stuff in here, but I never do any of that. I do it my way. So it's just making me think. You know, it's just making me think, me doing it my way. And how much progress did others make when I did that? Probably not much. Do not contradict such views. I was the queen of contradiction. It was sit down, shut up, let me tell you what to do. This is how we do it. And boy, I am so grateful that when I came out of relapse in June 2023, we were on this particular chapter. And somebody pointed out that it's working with others. And I heard it for the very first time. I really did. And I remember when I came in, at first, I don't think I felt that I needn't follow all of the program. I was just levitating with all this stuff, but I knew I didn't do it all. And I didn't see the need to do it all, especially the fourth step, because I finally felt happy for the first time in my life, so I wasn't going to do it for a year. But what I do know is this. People gave me hope, and I was hopeless. They didn't contradict me. They showed me a new way. They gave of their own experience. They told me, yeah, I know what you mean, Lynn. I felt like that too, but it wouldn't have worked. And what that allowed me to do was see all the times that I had tried myself. I had tried my way. I had said, yeah, yeah, but done it my way, and how it didn't work. I am so grateful now that I can read this chapter with fresh eyes. And I can sincerely take in what it's saying so that I may be helpful to somebody else, not contrary, not in their face, not objectionable. But I can relate to somebody. Imagine being new in program, just coming in and having somebody relate to you. Not yet again be somebody stern telling you what you need to do, but
that's
having
fine.
Some, thank you very much, having somebody extend a hand to help you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynn S. in Toronto, Canada, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Russ M.
Lisa N.
Reva T. Russ and Lisa. Reva, got you.
Roz G.
Gotcha. Roz.
Reva H.
Loretta. Who else? We could take a few more on this first lineup.
Vasa. Excuse me, Vasa O.
Gotcha.
Katie F.
Gotcha, Katie. All right, perfect. So here's who I have. I've got Russ M, Lisa N, Reva P, Roz G, Loretta H, Vasa O, and Katie F. So we will go with that lineup. Please remember to tell us where you're calling from. Russ M, you're up.
Good morning. Thank you. It's Russ M, recovered compulsive reader from Norristown, PA. So, you know, hearing these lines, like, I think when I first came in, when I was first sponsoring, you know, ready, you know, with fire and brimstone and ready to just knock it out of the park. And you know, some guys didn't want to have anything to do with me because it was too much. I was doing too much talking and not enough listening and not, you know, I was beating around the bush, if you want to say, you know, with parameters. Instead of saying, look, are you willing to go to any lengths to get free? That's really all I had to do. And, you know, I wanted to be nice. I want them to like me. Look, this is life or death deal here. If I'm worried about what sponsee's feeling about me, I'm in the wrong thing. I got things. My priorities are screwed up. So when I'm always open. I'm always open. I'm trying to keep my mouth shut, if you can believe that, and do what I'm supposed to do without any frills and let God handle the rest, especially praying over it. If I have a prospective sponsee, Lord, put on my tongue what you want me to say. How do I manage this? Because someone did that for me. So I always come with IO, and I do O. And I also, not just O to take the phone call, but I O in the way I handle it, with you know, having a little bit of humility that I'm still a junkie, that I can't come at people and bowl them over with program, because it doesn't help them. It doesn't get, you know, it's like sometimes I block what God's trying to do, you know, and I don't know if that's true, but that's the way I feel. So I had to take a whole different approach, and, you know, I wouldn't be here on this phone if someone didn't do that for me. I'm not just saying sponsoring. I'm saying the way they handled me, how they brought me in. It was almost like to a science, you know, a couple guys took care of me, you know, Charles and Craig. They, you know, they managed me. So I think sometimes that's how it's got to go. All right, I'm rambling. Thank you very much. You have a great day. Love you. Pass.
Thank you so much, Russ M. in Pennsylvania. And then next up, we've got Lisa N., followed by Reva P. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much for your service today. And I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin. And what this brought me back to was a memory of when I had lost weight. Now, I wasn't recovered. I was as recovered at that point as I was going to be, but I had lost weight, a significant amount. And I ran into somebody. I was at the post office, and right next to the post office was a candy store, a new candy store. This was years ago, and I ran into somebody that I knew, and her boyfriend was very overweight, and she was with him, and she saw me, and here he is sitting on a bench outside the store with a bag of candy on his lap, and she said, well, tell us how you lost your weight, and I fell for it. You know, I went into too many details, and he sat there with his head down and this candy on his lap, and she was like all excited and wanted me to tell him. And I fell for it, and I should have said, well, you know, I did a spiritual program and like left it alone, quiet. And after that, I would run into that guy at the grocery store, and he would be actually running practically through the aisle past me, like he was so busy he couldn't talk to me. And I because I've done it myself, I think that's what he was doing. I don't know. But I just feel like, yeah, I missed a lot of opportunities. I didn't do it quite right, but those were all learning opportunities. And it's hard to start sponsoring. And if you're just new to sponsoring, don't be afraid. Like somebody in the program says, you could be Mickey Mouse, but if you can read, you can be kind and listen and answer the phone and answer questions that are in the big book together, you can sponsor. And that's all I've got. I'm so grateful that I don't do things that way anymore. It just takes time and practice, and God gives me lots of time, opportunities to practice. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa N. in Wisconsin. And then next up is Reva P., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. The first line is really giving me a remember when reasons why I ate, reasons why I don't need to do all of the steps. But for me, it was the reasons why I ate the way I did. I had my reasons, and I really thought that they were true. And it reminds me on page 23, it says, if you ask him why he started, the chances are he will offer you any one of 100 alibis. And sometimes these excuses, they don't call them reasons here, have a certain plausibility, but none of them really make sense. So I'm so grateful for the people who welcomed me when I came in and didn't start debating with me. Like, I've learned, I don't debate with somebody's disease. Because a lot of times new people have reasons and the if onlys. And I thought that was why I was binging my brains out. And thank you, God, for the teachers on this line who taught me eat the way I eat. I do what I do because I'm a compulsive overeater. That's it. You know, there's a chapter that says, because I'm an alcoholic. That's the reason, because I have a physical allergy and a mental twist. So I don't get into debates with new people or sponsees' diseases. And I have gotten sucked into that, but that's a good warning and a reminder for me. And I love how it says here, you know, that I felt the same way, but my experience is if I do what people tell me to do, which is the whole thing, but entire abstinence, all the steps, not the a la carte program, then I get what they got. And I find it interesting, I never noticed this before, you know, the first visit, tell them about the fellowship versus the program, which is the steps. And I think that's what people did with me. I just knew that this was a safe place. This was a place where I could identify in, and people gave me hope. The details, I think, went totally over my head. So I, too, have to be careful. It's such a paradigm shift coming into this program to remember where I was and can I do the same service for others. And I do sometimes debate with people. That's not my job. The disease is the great persuader, not me. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. in Toronto, Canada. And then next up is Roz G., followed by Loretta H. Good morning, Roz.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And I want to thank you for being here, everybody. So I think sponsoring takes a, you know, practice, just like anything else. It takes me a while to learn things, to get good at things, and I could look back and say to myself that I was a terrible sponsor in the beginning. Sponsoring was an ego trip for me. Somebody wanted my opinion about something. Somebody asked me for help. Wow. I mean, my ego, I'm telling you, it was a big ego stroker for me. And that did not work. That, you know, anything that involves my ego getting bigger and bigger doesn't work. And it doesn't work with sponsoring either. So all I can do is simply, like it says, lay the spiritual action of spiritual tools at the person's feet, and they have the choice as to whether they want to take them or not. Hopefully they get down to that point where they don't have a choice anymore, where they're, you know, in a lot of pain. That's the best place to be. That was for me. Because otherwise, I would have never done anything to change. So I don't debate with people, and I've learned the hard way, don't play God, let God do the work. Simply, you know, read the book together and give the person the instructions of, you know, and it says here, taking action. Like someone in the program says, this is a program for people who do it. So if I don't get up in the morning and open this book and work with other people, if I don't make phone calls, if I don't get on meetings, if I don't do my nightly review, if I don't send my food to a sponsor, I'm going to go right back into the way I was. For me, those are the actions I need to take, because I've already tried not doing it, all those things, and it never worked. So I can, my experience is if I don't take these actions, I will go back into the food. And I can say it calmly and kindly and let God do the work, because I wanted to, as I heard in the initial share, do for instead of with, and allowing God to do the work. So I'm very glad. That's a big relief. And it's nothing personal if the person doesn't want to do it, as it says on another page. Go ahead and say thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. in California. And then next up, we have Loretta H., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Lindsay, and good morning all, along with my precious God. You're saving my life. I'm recovered in North Carolina, and I also like the idea of the fellowship. You know, as a compulsive overeater, I came in with a lot of secrets and had very few friends. And not that I was looking for friendship, but I was looking for somebody to see me, because I felt like I wasn't seen from my history. So as a result, I was very blessed to get a sponsor who actually was a nutritionist. She worked the big book. So I was very fortunate. But then when I went to sponsor, there were 9 nevers in this chapter. And, of course, I was out there, you know, just not failing, but just not knowing how to do this because I didn't study the book. And as it says in the first step, we are, that little dash is hopelessness. But it also, I interpret that as hopeless, but not helpless. So as a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm a real compulsive overeater, the issues are in my tissues, I know that the only way to get to the real truth is working the steps, and that takes action. And so once I've developed this relationship with a person, and I've failed a lot of times, but I do it very differently. So then I ask them on page 60, acknowledging their alcoholism and inability to manage their lives. So how are they doing it on their own? Is it a good life? Recognizing that conventional methods may have not relieved their alcoholism. So just having them look at their own life and then recognizing, and I came in as an agnostic. So my higher power actually was the fellowship in the beginning. And that could, what if it, they were sought, and I sought them. And so again, whether it's my food plan, or how I do this, it's my understanding that these 3 things have to be in place. So I'm a real alcoholic. My life, I couldn't manage it. I was hopeless. But something bigger than me, and it could have been anything at first, is going to help me and direct me. And so with that, I was able to identify into the book and do the work. And so I just hope that, thank you. I hope all of you have a blessed and absent day.
Thank you, Loretta H. in North Carolina. And then we've got Vasa O., followed by Katie F., and then we will take another list of folks to share. Good morning, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lindsay, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater. We are back to Massachusetts now. So, yes, I was that hopeless, doomed person by the time I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And it's not like I didn't try to put the food down many, many times over the years, off and on. I could identify with everybody else that had the same disease, the same compulsion, the allergy of the body. So by the time I came to the program, I wanted to be freed from the food addiction. There was really nothing more that I wanted at that time than to put the food down. I was married. I had the children. I had the husband. I had the dog. I had everything else. But I did not, you know, have this. And I'm so grateful that friend of mine, like Bill went to Abby's house, friend of mine came visit me. And she looked wonderful. I hadn't seen her for a while. And I asked her what she was been doing, and she told me about Overeaters Anonymous, and I was just amazed, and I wanted to have what she had. And she said, well, you know, you can have what I have if you do, you know, if you follow the program the way it's laid out in the big book. So the best gift, she shared her experience with me, I known her for years. You know, used to play tennis a lot. And so she told me about everything about herself, that I was doing the same thing by myself to find the solution on my problem. And I was really grateful. I was so happy. She gave me the big book, and she said, all the directions are here. If we just follow them, and then, you know, we're going to get free from the food addiction, and our life is going to get better and better as we go along. So, yes, I was ready and I was willing. And I wanted to tell everybody about Overeaters Anonymous. You know, my friends, my relatives struggling with food, but very few of them wanted to come, you know, and do the work, you know. And I learned over the years, you know, not to push it down to people's and just, you know, be power of example. And I can just say, I can invite you. You could come and see it for yourself, you know. And I'm just so grateful. I didn't want to do the fourth step. I lost the weight with the 6 months. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Who wants to go and tell somebody else about my problems? Well, my sponsor said, if you don't follow the directions, the way they laid out, trust me, you're going to go back into the food addiction. Well, I didn't want to go back to the food. I've been here for 40 years. It is by the grace of God. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm abstinent. As I do the steps, I do everything being clear-minded when it comes to the food.
Time.
And then, thank you. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. in Massachusetts. And then Katie F., you are up next.
Good morning. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. And I just know what works for me working with others is I don't know what's going to work with them. I don't know what they need to hear. All I have is my own experience. And my experience was that I was the yes, but girl. I was the one who, for 6 years in these rooms, thought that my situation was unique, mine was different, and if you had my problems, you'd eat too. And yes, I was absent yesterday, but then this happened, so then I had to pick up the food. And I had to have someone show me that there was another way, that it didn't matter what happened in my life, that it was possible to stay abstinent. And that has worked for me one day at a time for over 37 years. And so I can share that same experience with others. I can listen to where they are, and then I can say, well, you know, this is what works for me, and point them to the big book and to understanding that this isn't just about food and weight. This isn't just about our problems. It's completely different than that. This is a mental obsession. This is a physical allergy that is not the same as, you know, someone who may just not be able to, you know, eat only a few amount of chips. I mean, this is so much bigger than that. But the program gives us a way out that is not offered anywhere else. I mean, I've tried everything else. I did everything else. And, you know, but that was a long time ago. So there's a lot of other things that have come along. And by God's grace, I'm not drawn to these easier, softer ways because I know from my own experience that that doesn't work for me. And so when I'm working with others, they may just be a mirror for me to see this is where I could go if I, you know, stop doing what I do. And they could be an inspiration because they may be going through something I've never gone through. But I can share that whatever God, you know, allows to go on in my life, he's going to be with me through it. And I have scores of experiences. And it really wasn't the bad things that took me back to the food. I mean, it was nothing that took me back to the food. So my circumstances really have so little to do with it. But when I'm in the food, it seems like it's outside of me, that it's something outside of me. And that's what I have to show people, is that no, it's really an inside job, and that the only way through is to reach out my hand to others, to ask for help, and then to give help when I'm ready. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Katie F. in Virginia. And before we take another lineup of people to share, I'll just remind everybody where we are. So we are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 94, the second paragraph. Your candidate may give reasons, and we're reading through that one paragraph. So who else would like to share this morning?
Rick J., North Carolina.
Lori G.
Larry G., California.
I heard Larry G., and then I missed the next person.
Lori G.
I got you. I've got Rick J., Lori G., and Larry G., but then I missed another person after Larry.
Anne A.
Okay. That was Pam.
Anne.
Gotcha. Thank you for working with me there. All right. Who else would like to share? We've definitely got time for more. Anybody else want to get? Anne Marie M. Hey, Anne Marie. I gotcha. All right. So let's start there. Oh,
Salem.
One more. Go ahead. Say that one more time for me. All right. Well, I missed you, but we'll get you after this one. Rick J., Lori G., Larry G., Anne, and then Anne Marie M. So, Rick J., please go ahead and share with us.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for your service, Lindsay. My name's Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And, you know, I was just thinking that this is a program of attraction, not promotion. And, you know, that's already been mentioned. So, yeah, you know, when I was talking to the man who is my sponsor, still my sponsor today, this was, you know, 5.5 years ago, you know, I was on the beach in the Outer Banks, and I was just, you know, in so much emotional pain. I really was. And I've been in and out of the program for so long. And, you know, of course, this was a voice I'd heard a lot on Vision, and it was just very comforting to hear someone, you know, just sharing, you know, their experience. You know, I was familiar with the steps, but they just shared their experience, talked about the fellowship and, you know, that they couldn't do this on their own. You know, it was like, hey, you know, if you really want this, if you're really ready, I'm here for you. And, you know, that was what I needed to hear. I didn't hear, you know, like the drill sergeant, you know, coming out, because I have enough defiance in me that despite whatever, you know, pain and consequences my addiction takes me to, I will not do it. Yeah, I just won't. That's my experience. You know, just to hear that calm, assuring voice, friendly, you know, humor, but just deadly serious about, you know, the fact that he would not be able to recover without this program, without the steps, without the fellowship, but most of all, without a relationship with a higher power. And, you know, that's what I needed. And he didn't contradict anything I had to say. And I try to remember that when I'm working with sponsees, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. in North Carolina. And next up is Lori G., followed by Larry G. Good morning, Lori. Lori G., we don't hear you. Press *1 to unmute.
Thank you. Is that better?
We got you now.
Woohoo! Okay. Thank you so much for your service, that old mute button. Anyway,
Lori G. in Colorado. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. I can't think about that, or that makes me nervous. But all right, what was I going to say? I'm so grateful to be in this program, and what I was going to say is my husband had started, this is many years ago, 30 plus years ago, my husband had started in another fellowship and was using the big book, and I have been overweight and struggling with food all of my life, and he offered me his book. He said, you know, you might find this helpful. And of course he offered it in a very loving way. And I thought, well, okay, I'll look at it. And I said, I looked at the steps. Step one, I'm powerless. Yeah, I can admit that for sure. Step two, came to believe. Well, I've been a Christian most of my life, so got the check, got that one. Step three, I'm going blank, but I got to step four, and I went, inventory. Nope, no thanks. And so thank goodness nobody shoved it down my throat, because I would have just rebelled. And, well, I did, actually. I said, no thanks, I don't need this. It wasn't until I really got desperate that I was ready to surrender and go, okay, my way's not working. And that was 30-some years ago, and I have been in the program. I've been going to meetings forever and ever, and even though I had recovery for a while, and then I struggled for years, but I kept coming to meetings because I thought, I have no place else to go. This is it. And I knew, you know, people would say, keep coming until the miracle happens, and finally it did happen. I started with a sponsor who was using the big book, and I heard that there's the physical allergy and the mental twist, which I don't know if I just didn't hear that before. I don't know, but for whatever reason, it clicked, and I've been experiencing an amazing life of recovery since then. And I don't know why I'm going to share this, but I was at a meeting last night, and I was feeling discouraged because the meeting has been shrinking, and I just was feeling sorry for myself and thinking, maybe I'll just quit. And I kind of feel like God gently slapped me on the forehead and said, no, you're not going to quit. And a newcomer came who was desperate and asked me to sponsor her. And I just feel like, oh my gosh, this is why I'm here. This is what I need to do. And I'm excited. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori G. in Colorado. And then next up is Larry G., followed by Ann. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Larry G. from California. God, a lot of great shows. I'm going to go back and listen to the member from Toronto. What a great way to kick this meeting off. Just because I'm recovered does not mean I'm emotionally sober. those two things are completely separate. There was a time I had nothing to transmit, and today I have something to transmit, and I am recovering emotionally as well as physically and spiritually. I want to be a demonstrationist program today. I wasn't always that way. It was like was said before, I thought I was Bill W. Jr., and I was going to just rain information down on this person. And I'm so grateful that Bill didn't do that with Bob. Bill went to Bob to stay sober. He didn't go to Bob to get Bob sober. And I have to remind myself that I'm there to stay sober and not to get this person sober. So today, I don't want to make a prognosis that this person is a food drunk like me or not. I don't even pray the sick man prayer over somebody because that puts me into a position of judgment. I'm the sick man. I don't know what's going on with this person, really. I don't know why this person's suffering. I use the big book. There are some really good questions. For example, can you stop when you start? Draw people's attention to helping people to assess themselves, like in the big book, the questions whether they are a normal food drunk like me, like someone who can just step away from food anytime, or if they are problem food drunk, or a real food drunk like myself. And so I want that person through questions to assess that for himself, because I used to be heavy-handed, and that doesn't work, as so many people have have done such a good job articulating. Anyway, less of me and more of them, less of me, more of them is a much better thing, right? Okay, thank you, I pass.
Larry G. in California, and then we have Anne, followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Anne. Will you remind us of the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from?
Yes, hi, I'm Anne A. I'm in New York. I am a compulsive overeater, and thank you, Lindsay, for your service and everyone who gets service and those are here. I haven't shared in a while, and I must. The paragraph. When it says on your verse, I'm so grateful for the instructions, because when I first started sponsoring, I did not study the big book. And here in my group, my former group, rather, after completing the fourth step, I was a sponsor. And listen, I'm grateful. It took me a year and a half to finish the fourth, to get up to that step. So I didn't, because I did not know what I was doing, though I did. I followed instructions. I'm a good girl. And I'm so grateful for this book, for my teachers, for the instructions, as I said. So on my first visit, I bring my sponsees who want to work with me right to the title page. Under Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered. And then I do reinforce it, like Bill many times reinforces on the forward to the first edition, XIII, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered. And then so many eloquent shares, all of them. The program is the 12 steps. I do this all with unconditional love and usefulness. You know, the 12 steps is our house cleaning routine, and I share that. Just hammer action. And I share. I'm in another step study, another full year step study. I'm on the 10th month. I'm undergoing another drastic house cleaning. And I looked up drastic in my 1930s dictionary, and it's pretty severe, but I like the Greek. It's from the Greek, and it means to do, and you do it. And I tell my folks, how free do you want to be? And how soon? And that's what, I'm just so grateful that I have two sponsees right now, and they are willing to go to any lengths. And I do feel the presence of God when I work with them, when I open this book and we read together. And I'm grateful with that, that I can be an instrument of God's peace, be an instrument, because this whole book is about love. And about being free, and I'm grateful for that freedom. Thank you, Lindsay. I pass.
Thank you, Anne A. in New York, and then Anne Marie M., Europe.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M. gratefully recovering through God's grace, miraculously recovering through God's grace in South Carolina. Thank you so much, Kelly, for taking the meeting and all the shares I definitely could identify with. So I was just thinking of, you know, being a sponsor and sponsoring both, coming from both directions. I just got to shut my alarm off. I'm sorry. Coming from both directions, you know, being a sponsor, I, you know, did not want to do a lot of the things that my sponsor had suggested. She told me what she did, and I thought, well, that's what she needs. I mean, she needed to get a dietitian. Obviously, I had been, you know, a lifetime member of a weight program, and I knew so much about diet and food, and so I didn't need that. And then she needed to weigh and measure, but I wasn't going to be rigid like that. You know, those people that weigh and measure are really rigid. And, you know, I had to get to the point where I saw that that was going to be beneficial for me. I had to get to the point where I knew what I needed to do for me. And so, you know, when I sponsor and someone thinks that they might have a different idea of what they can do, a different plan, I encourage them. I really do, because who knows, maybe something else would help them. I don't think this is a program for everyone. You know, some people don't need as much discipline as I do. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that I not only know that I need the discipline, but I also know I'm also willing to do it. It's not that I'm willing, I happily do it. It's part of my life, and I'm just really grateful for that. So I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. And we have time for one more share. So who would like to take us out this morning?
Anita J.
Anita? All right. Go ahead and share with us.
I don't know what happened here. This is Anita J. trying to be recovered in Massachusetts. With the best of intentions, it was just about 10 and a half years of abstinence, and I came down with pneumonia. I was in the hospital and in the rehab, and oh my God, and the doctor prescribed something with sugar. And two bottles of it every day. Anyway, the point of the story is I can't live like that anymore. I got well. I mean, I'm fine now. And both little lungs work. And I there's no other way to be, because I did this, you know, before. Well, I have to give credit to Vision. I always had to, only because the way they presented it, I finally knew I couldn't have one. I was in this program for decades and didn't know that. And so when I work with someone, I hope that they understand that too. But if they don't, you know, it's with a light hand now. It's with a light hand, because at first, it was an ego thing. I was cajoling. Word cajole. Anyway, the point is that doesn't work. We all know that. And I'm an entirely different sponsor now. When I'll be able to do it again. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful I'm still alive. You know, it's a miracle too that I've outlived my parents. I just, I don't know. I'm grateful. When I'm grateful, nothing could be come across my lips, you know, that would hurt me. I pray that for all of you. So hello, guys. I'm here, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. in Massachusetts. And thank you to everybody who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, May 1st, is 22,395. That is 22, 395. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elena C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until